I'd like to invite you to Acts, the beginning of the book of Acts in the New Testament. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. If you have a Bible handy, join me. If not, simply listen to these words and in them listen for the word of the Lord. Now this is, let me set it up. This is the beginning of the story of the church after Jesus. It's the very beginning, in fact. We're beginning with the first chapter, first verse of Acts. So it is right at the beginning of the story. But this story, this chapter includes some of the last words of Jesus as he ascended into heaven and left the disciples to do the work of the church. So that's what I want to focus on today. Today is known as Ascension Sunday in the liturgy of the church. And so we celebrate by reading this text. It's about Jesus leaving the disciples right there on the Mount of Olives. Some of us will get to stand on the Mount of Olives in a few months. And I have been there. But as I was there before, I thought that we were on a vantage point overlooking Jerusalem, which we absolutely were. But I did not make the connection with what happened on Mount of Olives. It itself is a holy place where the disciples saw Jesus leave them and go to be with God. And then told them to go back to their places and wait for him. Wait for the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the risen Lord. And that happens in Acts 2. And next Sunday, being Pentecost Sunday, is when we're going to share that scripture and talk about the power and the wave of the Holy Spirit that comes and empowers the disciples in the early church to do and be all that Jesus has called us to be. Okay, so these are two really big Sundays, Ascension Sunday and Pentecost, and they're connected, by these texts. Next Sunday, you might guess, we'll read Acts 2 and talk about the Spirit. So we'll lead up to that today by reading from Acts 1, 1 through 14. Listen to these words, and in them, let us be inspired by the Word of God. In the first book, there's already a word I need to explain. Theophilus is the name. There may have been a person, I'm stopping again, sorry. The name Theophilus may have been the name of a person to whom this book was addressed, but I don't think so. It could have been, and I won't rule that out. But the word Theophilus, if you break it down, Theo means God, and Phila is one of the Greek words for love. Philosopher, love of knowledge, philosoph. You linguists can get that. But this word Theophilus, that's really the only place where we have this name, except also for the Gospel of Luke, which is addressed to Theophilus. Now Luke writes the book of Acts and addressed it to Theophilus. I think it means to those who love God, to the lover of God. So here we go. In the first book, Theophilus, I write about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up into heaven. Excuse me. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of God the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When Jesus had said this, as they were watching, He was lifted up, and a cloud took Him out of their sight. And while He was going, they were gazing up toward heaven, and suddenly two men in white robes stood beside them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come again in the same way as you saw Him go into heaven. And so the disciples returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had returned to the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. And all of these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as His brothers. This, brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord for people of faith. Thanks be to God. The words that Jesus spoke to them, wait. I think of wait as a four-letter word. And you know what four-letter words are. Wait is a four-letter word because we're not very good at waiting, and we don't like to hear it. We don't like to do it. We don't like to be told we have to wait or need to wait, right? We're impatient people. We are trained to be impatient by our modern culture, and we've come to expect things to happen rather quickly. It's interesting with our computers. We tend to overwork our computers and then expect way too much of them. And we snap our fingers or tap our foot and wait for something to happen, thinking it should be instant, and it's not, and it disappoints us. And then we get the next upgrade. And then we increase our demands or add more people to the network. And all of a sudden, it's back to slow again. We're not good at waiting, are we? Are you good at waiting? If you are, I'd really love to hear you speak about that and to share with us how you get that done. I decided a long time ago that I was going to be good at waiting. I'm not naturally that way, and I am very impatient. And how do you figure that went when I decided I was going to be good at it? It didn't make a whole lot of difference. What happened was I just acted a little differently. Maybe I didn't act out or complain, but I was still stirring on the inside because I was impatient and the wheels were turning faster than what was happening around me. So it's hard to be told to wait. And on this occasion, Jesus tells them to wait. Wait here in Jerusalem. And I kind of like the King James version of this, where it says, tarry here in Jerusalem. Tarry. That's a word we don't use much anymore, but it's kind of it's kind of got a connotation of hope and of expectation. It's not just sitting in a waiting room when you don't know if your name is going to be called in 15 minutes or an hour and 15 minutes. This is a waiting with expectation. It is a waiting with hope. And when Jesus called the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem, I think he meant it wasn't going to be long. It wasn't going to be very long before the Spirit came and fulfilled all that he was saying and promising to them. It's curious, it says that they went back to the room where they were staying, and distinctly in a couple of other translations I read, it says they're going back to the upper room in which they had been staying. I want to believe that that's the room where Jesus and the disciples shared the Last Supper. They went to an upstairs room, an upper room, a place that had been prepared for them, and there they broke bread with Jesus the last time on Thursday of Holy Week, a Thursday before the Friday he died. And that was in Jerusalem too. So I think that here they are waiting in this. Luke didn't just put that in there by accident to say it, the upper room. I think this is the place where they had been with Jesus, and they went back there to be close to each other and to be in fellowship and in remembrance of him. You know, he said to them, as often as you take a meal, do it in remembrance of me and I will be with you. So the disciples returned to Jerusalem after this grand experience on the hillside, on the top of the mountain. Mount Olivet is not that high, really. And it's not it's not far from Jerusalem. In fact, the text says it's a Sabbath day's journey. If you think about what that really means, Jewish people weren't supposed to do much on the Sabbath. They were supposed to take it easy and not do work. They could not do certain activities that were interpreted and understood to be work. And so when it says a Sabbath day's journey, what it means is it's a small enough distance that it would be legal for you to walk there on the Sabbath without fearing that you were exerting too much work energy. It's rather close. I wish I could show you a picture of it. It overlooks Jerusalem. And you can see the city. You can see the temple. You can see the temple steps and the mound where Jesus walked. See many other parts of the city. You can also see the Dome of the Rock, which is an Islamic holy place. But as I was there, I didn't think about the great experience that the disciples had with Jesus there. I just thought we were overlooking the city of Jerusalem. It's called a Sabbath day's journey because it's legal to walk that far. You know, the Jewish people have very tight restrictions about what they can do work-wise because the Sabbath is a holy day and we're supposed to rest on it. So when we go there in December, I'm kind of hoping that the tour guide will let me walk from the Mount of Olives down into Jerusalem. I asked her and she said, we'll see. But I think it would be really neat to do that. Probably my group would say, you better not run off. You know, as a youth director many years, the hardest part was keeping everybody together and keeping some kid from wandering off. And there have been a few times when I was the one who wandered off. So, but this is a place where the disciples looked up and then looked down. They looked up as they saw Jesus leaving them, and they just didn't get it. They didn't understand why he was leaving. Jesus had already been crucified, resurrected. This is the appearance, the last one to his disciples before he ascended into heaven and left them. to do the work that he had called them to do and trained them to do. So they did what they found comfortable. They walked down the hill back to Jerusalem, back to the place where they had gathered with the Lord, sacred, special, holiest place that they would remember probably. And they waited. I'm sure that it was a sweet fellowship of early believers. It included Mary, the mother of Jesus. There are several Marys in the New Testament. It's very confusing sometimes to know which Mary is being talked about. Here Luke says, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Jesus' mother was with them. And they included her in their fellowship. And they cared for her. And at that point, I think she was probably the closest they could get to the Lord. But their instructions from Jesus were to wait. Tarry, he said. I don't think we use that word much, but tarry. Tarry here in Jerusalem. Wait here until the Spirit comes and fills you with power that will enable you to be my witnesses. That's going to happen next Sunday. It's going to happen in the next chapter here of Acts, second chapter. This is rich stuff. But he told them to wait for them, to go back to the place where they had been with him and wait. And that place was only, as it says, a Sabbath day's journey away. Some short distance. It's about 2.5 miles, to tell you the truth. But it is short enough distance that they could walk that way even if it was a Sabbath, when they were restricted as to how much effort and work they could put forth. I think God calls us all to wait at times. And it's hard to wait. It's hard to wait. The only way we can really wait well is when we're with other people. We wait by ourselves. I get really impatient and anxious. We aren't good at waiting. Nobody likes a waiting room. Perhaps we shouldn't even call it that. Maybe we should call it an anticipation room. Maybe, how about magazine room? Anything other than waiting room. We could come up with some other euphemism for the fact that you're really there, about to be examined in the doctor's office or wherever, get poked and prodded, measured, or diagnosed. But we don't wait well. The word tarry, though, means different. It's not stop what you're doing. It's just pause and wait for a moment. What Jesus promised would be happening very soon. What he promised would give them the power that they needed to continue to live into what he had called them to do. This risen Jesus promised his followers, in just a few days, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit of God, and you will be my witnesses. You will speak for me. You will empower others with my power. You will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria. That's over across on the other side now. That wasn't even a safe place to go in Bible times. You will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I like to say to the edges of the earth. In those days, they did think that the world was probably flat. They didn't probably think much about it, actually, because they didn't have a world perspective like we do with the distances and all, and the ways of measuring and the travel. King James Version reports to us that Jesus said, "You'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." We know there aren't any ends of the earth, but that's a very graphic term. In fact, to realize that there are no ends of the earth, that when you get around to the other side, you just come right back and it's a globe. When you talk about the ends of the earth, there is no limit. And there are no ends. So Jesus can, we can say Jesus meant, "You'll be my witnesses in the entire earth." "John baptized you with water," he said, "but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." They were on a high point overlooking Jerusalem, on that Mount of Olives, or Mount Olivet, it's sometimes called. And Jesus ascended straight up into the clouds and left them standing there. Reluctantly, the disciples did as he said. They went back to Jerusalem and they waited and they prayed together. And they took care of each other and they took care of Mary. And they made sure that they were ready to receive the power that was promised and that would come on the day of Pentecost. As we live through these days again and again each year, we change how we respond, and we sometimes welcome it more than others. But I invite you to follow Jesus' command with me as we hear it today. Wait. Wait here. Wait until you are filled with power from on high. And it won't be long. Wait until you are filled, and then you shall be my witnesses. You shall be empowered to do the things that you've been afraid to do, or the things that you didn't feel you knew how to do. Wait until the Holy Spirit is poured out upon you and you receive it as a gift. And then you will be my witnesses, says the Lord. In Judea and Samaria and Bridgeport and Wise County and to the edges of the earth.